We'll turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, we've been looking at in several messages on Sunday morning the service of our Lord God Almighty. And here at this time, what are we His servants to do? What are we His servants to do? In this book of Galatians, last time we took a look about what the Scripture and what the Lord gives us through the Apostle Paul in dealing with these many churches in Galatia and Asia Minor, and the Judaism that was prevailing or coming upon them, and that attack of that Judaism coming to where they wanted to bring in adding things to the gospel of Christ. He said it was a perversion. And he ended up the passage that we considered there in Galatians chapter 1, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is an indeed an offense to mankind. But who is it that we're serving? Do we look to placate and serve men? Or do we serve God? And we're the servants of God, the servants of Christ indeed. And we should relay His gospel, His message, His truth as He has given it. Offense or no unto man. And we know that it is an offense. Also in Galatians, the book of Galatians, here in chapter 4, in regards to this about our service, it's kind of a rewind and kind of a looking back, the portion that we want to look at here, and to understand about our service, and it being reaffirmed that it is unto our Lord, and understand about the things that can come in, the things that can come into our lives, that are at hand in our lives and hand in us. And who's God? Who is God? And who is it that we are to serve? In Galatians chapter 4, we pick it up in verse number 8. How be it then? He's talked about this, about how the time of the law being a instructor, and the fullness of time coming when Christ would come, and the Lord working in all those things, all the timing just right. He's using this about the a servant being Lord of all, but while he's coming to maturity as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And so he's speaking about this, that Christ has been brought to bear. He is the pinnacle of God's redemptive work. The law had its place, but it is not salvation. And then how the Lord with His Spirit works in those that He saves, that where we cry, Abba, Father, in verse number 6. And so, and sinners are brought to salvation by the miraculous work of the Lord. Verse number 8, how be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Okay, so he's causing us to think back to before we were saved, when we did not know God. I'm not talking about knowing of God. There's many in our land, our country, that know of God. They've heard God brought forward. They've heard about Jesus Christ being brought forward. There's claims that are made even as a nation about God and such as that. And I'm thankful for those things. But what this is talking about is knowing God personally, knowing God in the rescue of the soul, knowing not just about God, but knowing the Lord in a relationship. He says, how be it then, when ye knew not God, before you were saved, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. So he said, you used to serve. You used to serve another. And that's an interesting phrase that is there, which by nature are no gods. This word that is brought to the English from the original speaks, you know, which by nature is the word in the Greek. It's talking about, it can refer to by germination. Okay, that's the way plants grow and bud and sprout. By nature, the design of the Lord. or by natural production. Animals have bear-like animals, don't they? That's the reason that since the flood, there have been the animals that we have yet today. They have more of themselves. Mankind has procreated, and we have people and their children and their children and their children, where you and I are here and alive today. And then that of which I don't know much about biology, but it also refers to, which by nature refers to a genus and sort, the different descriptions about species and how the order of the things that are alive in the world. He says, you did service to these gods, little g, which by nature are no god. Never was part of the design. Never was part of the order of the Lord. The creation of God was never to rise to be God, but rather only to be his blessed, obedient creation. But see, in the sinfulness and the depravity of man, some things have been elevated that shouldn't have been elevated. Okay? Never was designed that way. Never was intended by our Lord to be that way. But you served them, didn't you? You served them. And they're not gods, not by nature, not by the creation and design of the Lord. But you did serve them indeed. The creation was never to rise to be God, but rather to only be his blessed, obedient creation. In no aspect whatsoever was it to rise to be God, the creation, any aspect of the creation. Never was the design. But see what sin does to us? We take things and we misplace them. Idols as gods were the great case in the day this scripture was written, wasn't it? Those churches in Galatia, those brothers and sisters there, those people that were there, that the gospel was carried forth to, they were in a place that was steeped in paganism. Idols, they had idols, idols, idols. Greek gods of mythology, Roman gods of mythology, the Babylonian gods, the Syrian gods, every nation that had risen up and dominated in those regions had a god or two or three, and then some more that they captured. That's the way Nebuchadnezzar was, wasn't he? When he liked a god of a nation that he defeated, he took it on in there, brought it on in. When he didn't like a god, he destroyed it. And so there's a multiplicity of gods held to by Babylon, which is the source of all religious heresy and wickedness. The scripture is very plain about that. But understand, in the time that the book of Galatians and this epistle was written to these churches, physical idols were a greater case than it is you and than it is in our day today. But understand, the source, that from which these idols that the Galatians had and dealt with physically in their day and in their culture, they stemmed from a source within mankind that is still at hand today, isn't it? And you know why? Because it's in you and me. It was in our daddy, it was in our great-granddaddy, it was in our grandfather, great-grandfather, going on back. Because see, physical gods, idols, come from somewhere. Where do they come? They come from within men. And so that is still at hand today. It's partially described by Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, in the latter half of the chapter, we can understand what the Lord tells us and makes it clear unto us about how that happens. But this source from which idols, there are some religious groups in our day that still have idols, don't they? They have idols. They have statues to whom they do service and honor. Many different sects of people and the religion that they follow have such. But that's not the source. The source comes within mankind, and these things are still at hand today. The gods of the flesh bring all the false gods to fruition, don't they? The gods of the flesh bring all the false gods to fruition. See, if you didn't have a sinner that was depraved and lost and dead in trespasses and sins, you'd never end up with an idol. So what we want to look at is what we still have at hand today. And what the brother writes, our Lord gives us, he says, before you were saved, who did you serve? You served those which were by nature, never by the design. It was never by the design for them to be gods. I bring to you this morning and submit to you this morning the gods of the flesh. In this same book, we can go over here to the next chapter, and we have an outline of these. And again, we're talking about the key and the focus is our service. Who do we serve? Who is it that you and I serve as the children of God, being saved by the Lord? Who is it that we are to serve? Gods of our own flesh and of our own mind and device? Gods of the working of the depravity of man and the way of the world? Or the true and living God? Who is it that we serve? This morning we are worshiping. And we took a look at a whole, for quite some times, messages about worship. But we're talking about service now. We're talking about day to day, moment by moment, hour by hour living. Who do we serve? Here in Galatians chapter 5, we read in verse number 16, "This I say then," he writes to us, to the churches of Galatia, "walk in the Spirit." You could take and substitute walk, live in the Spirit. Live your life in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, the body, the mind, lusteth, desires against the Spirit of God that lives within, and the Spirit lusts and desires against the flesh. They're contrary. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's a warfare going on within. And in the chapter that we're focusing on, the passage we're focusing on, he said, think back to the gods that you served before. He's dealing with these churches in Galatia and the brothers and sisters there. He said, do you want to depart from God who has rescued for you from this? Are you looking, as we saw last time, to pursue after another gospel and bring forth another gospel, which is not another? Look out who you served before that were not to be gods, but became gods unto wicked, sinful men. Here he goes on to say, but if ye be led of the Spirit, verse number 18, are you saved? If you be led of the Spirit, it's an if. If you be led of the Spirit, capital S, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you the Lord's? Again, one of those questions to the people of God. He said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Not under the law to be saved. Not under the law to add some fulfilling of the law to Christ. Because see, for every child of God that's saved, Jesus kept the law for us. He fulfilled it that his righteousness might be given unto us who have no righteousness. The only righteousness accepted and received by the Father. Let's look at these gods of the flesh here. And here, what I want us to consider this morning is how these gods of the flesh, I think it's a good way to refer to them, gods of the flesh, the source from which idols come from, the source from which disobedience against God comes from, and look how they've got, in a manner of speaking, look how they have hooks. Look how they have the drawing in into servitude. We looked over in Romans here some time ago in Romans chapter 6. Remember that contrast? We were the servants of sin. Sin is personified and made the master that's over us, driving us and urging us and commanding us. That's the picture that's given. We were the servants of sin, but now we're the servants of God. We're not to be the servants of sin any longer. And this is in that same vein. And look what these gods of the flesh, little g, gods of the flesh, that are the source of idolatry and all the wickedness of man. Listen how these gods of the flesh that we used to serve, listen to how they are and how they bring into servitude. But now the works of the flesh, verse 19, are manifest. They're shown forth. They're revealed, which are these. Adultery. People get into adultery. The next is fornication. Get into adultery, and it's got hooks, doesn't it? Get into pursuing that stuff, and just it's hard to let go. It's hard to quit. It draws down. There are people that live and maybe it was so with you and me. We live in a wanton, just licentious way. It becomes the master, and we become the servant to it. It's got hooks. It's got hooks from the standpoint of pleasure of the flesh. It's got hooks from the standpoint of shame if it's brought out. It's got the person that is found therein bound. A little God, but a God to whom the followers of such are found enslaved. Uncleanness is there related to it, which is impurity. Not being pure before the Lord. Not the dealing with the provision of the Lord in the body that he's given and the blessing that he's given in marriage and the things that are created by God before sin in the garden that are reserved for marriage. But taking those and using those in a way that's not according to the Lord and not unfit. Lasciviousness is there close to it. Licentiousness is another word for it, or wantonness. They're all bunched up there together. It kind of shows all the fingers of this kind of things, of the misuse of this intimacy between men and women that is given by the Lord. That's reserved for marriage. Listen, young people, middle-aged people, older people, keep yourselves in the bounds of what God has given. You and I follow after these things, we will become enslaved to them. They become a god over us. We become a servant to them, to shame, sinfulness, and disgrace before our God. Goes on to say here, idolatry, which we've talked about. And the thing is, you and I, we really don't have a temptation of physical idols, granite statues, gold statues that we would set up, shrines and such as that. We have those in our nation that are subject to those things, that yield to those things, that submit to those things. Remember how Brother Joshua Johnson told about every place, a house there in Thailand typically has a shrine to some of their Buddhist gods. And he was so thankful that they got one, a house that didn't. Physical idols aren't our problem from the standpoint of statues of gods. But I tell you what, we can take stuff and make it an idol, can't we? We can take stuff. Hobbies. Things that in and of themselves are not wicked in and of themselves, but take them and misplace them in our affairs and our priorities and our scheduling, and they can become idols, can't they? This next one, witchcraft. Witchcraft is speaking of drugs, magic, sorcery, the taking of of drugs. And, you know, we're thankful for the medicine that the Lord's given our day. Medicine is a double-edged sword. With everything in medicine, when you and I pursue medicine, and I'm thankful for it, I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them to be able to take out my kidney, which would had went to the bad, went to the other side, and with that cancer. I'm thankful for it. But with drugs and that, the wrong drug used the wrong way at the wrong time, it lowers down that defense even to the spirit world. And think about it. They tell us at the jail at our last training that 80% of the people at the Logan County Jail are there for some drug-related offense. And the numbers, I think, in the penitentiary are even higher. This of methamphetamine, right? We're told that if just one taking methamphetamine once and you're hooked. See, who's the God? The drugs become the God. And the person, the soul, becomes the slave, don't they? Become the slave. Those that were that we see in the scriptures, and no doubt it happens today, it's not as evident to us, but I believe that the demons are still as at work as they always have been. But those that were possessed of demons in the scripture, did they want to be? I don't see one account of any of them that wanted to be, but they could not do anything but be subject to them. Till the Lord visited them and cast them out and saved them. And they were permanently healed. See about these gods of the flesh? It goes on to say here, hatred. Hatred can burn within a person, a hatred for another, a murderous thinking, a despising of another human being made in the image and likeness of their God. Listen, with hatred, we're sinning against God when we do so. And what is it? They become the one that is physically destroyed by the burning, seething hatred within. They're not the master. They're the slave, the servant of hatred. Variance. Mentioned about this on Wednesday, about debate and quarrelsomeness. We see this in our political, the political realm in our day. There is a contingent that is not satisfied with anything that is truth. They only want what they want, and they'll yell and scream till they get it. Not the truth, not honoring what's right, not looking for the plummet line of truth established by the Lord and say, yes, this is yea and this is nay, but no, just wanting to follow their own will for what they want at any cost. The ends justifies the means. Variance. Emulations. We see in other places, I think, Brother Paul writing to Brother Timothy, he talks about the fierceness of man that will be in the latter days. This emulations is speaking about that. Great zeal, heat, indignation, jealousy over one's way and one's opinion. They look to just burn another person down, if you will. If you pardon the vernacular, my way is the only way that matters, and everybody else just needs to get out of the way. We come ate up by it, don't they? We can. These gods of the flesh are a terrible thing. Wrath, when anger gets legs on it to the hurt of another. Wrath coming forward in words. Wrath coming forth in physical action. Strife. The desire to just divide. If something is going on good and something that's going on peaceful and right, pardon me, just can't stand to see it that way. I've just got to interject something just to tear it up, to stir it up, to put something in there to make it fester up and boil and burn. seditions. We see this in regards to our country, don't we? Disunion, division, and dissension. A hatred of anything that is good. A hatred of any semblance of righteousness and a right and orderly way. Indeed, for the things to come to pass that the Scriptures bear out, our nation must go away. I don't want to see it. It's in the Lord's hand. It's in the Lord's hands indeed. But I tell you what, this contingent that's at hand in our nation, they just don't want anything. And the thing is, they're slaves to that will, that ill will within them. And the thing is, here's the terrible thing. Men, women, boys, and girls think that they can handle their sin. You and I naturally think that we can handle our sin and our sin won't take us down. We can dabble in it, meddle with it, play around with it, and it will not cost us anything. It will not hurt us too bad. The thing is, you know what? These dissenters, these anarchists, this insurrectionists as they are, do they think that they will escape? They do, but they will not. They will not. And look what it's doing. They, in their pursuit against those things that are right and righteous and honoring to God, they want to go away from that. They want to tear down our country. They are destroying themselves in the end. The gods of the flesh. It goes on to say here, heresies. The synonyms for the word heresies are a choice, a party, or a disunion, also a sect. The truth is at hand, and there's I want this instead. God says it's this way, and I say, I want this instead. I'm going to go away. I want my own belief about this. We hear it all the time when we talk to people. If you talk to anybody about the Lord, they hear what we tell them, what the Word of God says, and they take it and they say, "Well, I believe this way," and that makes it all right to them. And what is it? They're a slave to that ignorance. That ignorance, like the blind leading the blind, both will fall in the ditch and they go right on into the ditch unless the Lord intervenes. It goes on to say in verse number 21, envyings, ill will, jealousy, and spite, getting back. They become a slave to that and then have to guard against others getting them back. It becomes a working and a melee of the non-meek, doesn't it? It's dog eat dog. Murderers. The killing, again, of mankind, coming and stemming from hatred or covetousness. Drunkenness. Being controlled by another spirit. Have a good time. As I mentioned Wednesday, we're going to, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, we'll talk a little bit about how it is the way of the world, the way of men. It said, well, everybody needs to dabble in something a little wicked. You know, it's just fun to be wicked. You know, just a little bit. Just be wicked a little bit. The thing is that wickedness destroys. Just mark it down. Wickedness destroys. Buy into the sucker bait that you can be wicked a little bit and presume upon the graciousness and the mercy of the Lord. The thing is, a pursuit of that, it's got hooks and it'll just destroy. Because the flesh just wants more and more and more. Wickedness just keeps saying, come on back. Come on back a little farther. Come on back a little bit more. It goes on to say here, revelings. And we see it in our day, don't we? Carousal, letting loose, rioting. You remember, some of you might remember that are my age or around thereabouts, there's a song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend. Remember that? That's the idea. Work's not good. It's the weekend. and just letting loose, taking everything that was made during the week and blowing it on the weekend. And what happens? Great dissatisfaction with life. The provision of the Lord and being able to work and to provide for a family. To do things, to do and pursue a life even from the standpoint of the unsaved. To just be orderly and walk in the general blessings of the Lord, of life. No, I'm working for the weekend. And I'm going to take it and blow it all on the weekend and get out of my mind. So what? With things that are good and things that are right and things that are holy, things of family, of spouse, of children, things given and designed by the Lord. There's no desire for that. I'm just holding out for this weekend. I got the hooks. Who's the servant and who's the God? The good time is the God. And the person becomes the slave, don't they? And then the brother wraps up this, the Lord tells us, and such like. I think what it is in the passage, by now you get the idea, right? You get the, there may be some things I haven't mentioned, but you get it. All those other things too. Little gods of the flesh. And what do? They rise up and they dominate. No, we sow the ignorance and the misunderstanding. We think we're in such control. And the thing is, we're being controlled. We've become the servants, naturally, of sin. And so he says, think back about the service that you did to them, which were by nature were no gods. Think back as they've been described here, back in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9. But now, after yet ye have known God, after ye have known God, or rather known of God, this is another qualifier for those that declare that they're saved. Does God know you? It's one thing to claim that you know the Lord, and that's good, and that's right. We are to know the Lord. We are to repent, to believe in Him. But does the Lord know you? Does the Lord claim you by Jesus Christ? But now, either ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, those gods of the flesh, those things which were by nature were never to be gods, never were to be the leaders and the possessors and the runners of life or any aspect thereof? How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Makes it real clear, doesn't it? We were wrapped up, sewn up, and on our way to hell, thinking that we were living the high life. And we were like a package. We were like a package wrapped up, heading to hell in the lake of fire forever. Thought we were in control. Thought that we were the God. No. Sin was indeed the little g god, wasn't it? It was. Verse number 10, he tells them in particular here, ye observe days, ye observe months and times and years. This, I think this is relative to the Judaism aspect for them. You're religious. The religiousness of it all, it makes you feel good in that. He says, verse 11, I'm afraid of you, lest I've bestowed upon you labor in vain. Have I labored in vain with you in declaring the gospel to you? Well, the answer is no, but in dealing with them, he's looking to persuade them to turn away from this Judaistic way and this adding to the Lord Jesus Christ with this of Judaism, namely of circumcision and such. In verses 12 through 15, we see the blessedness and conviction of the beginning. And we do well to remember this, how the Lord dealt with us and brought us. Brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, be as I, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. He said, I'm not being hurt or struck down by the things that you have done, but I'm appealing to you that you turn from this way. You know how that through the infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Remember how it was at the beginning? I was weak. I had problems, but the Lord brought me there and I preached the gospel of Jesus unto you. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected. You didn't turn me away because of the problem that I have, but received me as the angel of God. The news was that good that sinners could be rescued from this bondage. You received me like an angel from the Lord. And all the despicable way of my flesh and what was going on with me physically, the message you heard of Christ, not of me, but of our good Lord, even as Christ Jesus, you received me as receiving the Lord. He asked, now, where is then the blessedness you spake of? Where is it now? Wanting to be bound up by these little gods of the flesh again? Wanting to be bound up by this God of Judaism? Adding that to Christ and taking works of the law and saying that you need those in addition to Christ in their context? You and I, do we want to return back to that from which we've been saved? May God help us. Is that our service, to return back to that from which we saved? Or who do we serve? We serve Christ, don't we? And as he is holy and righteous, so we need to pursue to be such and not yield our members to these things from which we've been saved. Where is the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. He said, that's how joyous, that's how rejoicing you were. You would have helped me with my blindness. You were so glad, so thankful to be saved from the bondage of sin in your life, and that so held your soul. Verse number 16, does the truth trouble you? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It's just like what we saw him telling to the church at Corinth, isn't it? There in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 12, recently we saw, he said, you are not straightening us, but you're straightening your own bowels. He said, the problem isn't with the preacher. are we enemies now because I've told you the truth? As I told you the truth from the beginning, and now I'm challenging you this and this way that you're going. And the challenge to you and me is to yield to these little gods of our flesh that we've been saved from. He says, is the problem with the message carrier? There's a problem within us. Yeah, repentance. We need to repent of our fault and our failure. Verse 17 and 18. There is an effect of others on us. And I tell you what, it's prevalent in the Lord's, among the Lord's people and the Lord's churches. The world, our loved ones, our friends, quote unquote, scream things unto us. But what does the Lord think about them? We look to be in favor with them, but what does the Lord say about them? They zealously affect you, but not well. He said, there's somebody at hand whispering this in your ear. There's somebody at hand that's saying that this is the way to go. For you and me, the media, a respected loved one, the way and sensuality and way of the world, the thinking and philosophy of the world, they zealously affect you, whoever the they is. In their case, the Judaizers. In our case, the world at large. But not well. They're not affecting you well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. They don't want the witness that you've got of Christ, but they want to take and corrupt you. And so it is to personify this old way, these works of the flesh, to personify them. They want to take us down, don't they? Sin is just that way. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. It's good to be affected by the testimony and witness of Christ and the things of the Lord. You can read over in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. It's good to be affected by that. But not only when I am present with you. He said, you need to have faith and faith in the Word even when I'm not there. Because, see, it's a personal conviction, a personal conviction indeed. Verses 19 and 20, professors or possessors, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Aren't those odd words? You know, he's not leaving it, so to speak. He's not leaving it the chance that maybe there's some there that do need to be saved. He said, if you gut the gospel of Christ by adding something to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're starting all over again. You want to be brought in bondage to that again? You and I hear about our servitude. Is our servitude unto our flesh, the world, these little gods of the flesh, or unto Christ? What are we persuaded of? Do we want to keep one foot on the Lord and one foot in the world? My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, to get stern, to get forceful, for I stand in doubt of you. May it be that the Lord wouldn't stand in doubt of us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, a parallel passage, I wanted to want us to read this, and I know you've been patient here. But listen to these words, Brother Peter writing, chapter 1 of 1 Peter and verse number 17. Listen to what it says here. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, because see, we will be brought into account as to who our God is. Child of God, if you're saved, the Lord is your Savior forever. But you know what? We can let idols creep in. And again, it's not going to be statues. It might be stuff, but certainly these little gods of the flesh, they can be pursued. They can entangle us. They can wrap us up. They can deceive us. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain, your empty conversation. That's that reference to those gods that we served. It was empty. From your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, there's those gods that we served. But we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Look at God's work, our Lord's work on behalf of us. It transcends time. But was manifest in these last times for you. He came. And as I said recently, we look to the Gospels as the Lord's children, and we know and we believe and are assured that He came and did such for me. See, you say that, me. Individually, personally, who by him do believe in God, by Jesus we believe in God, that raised him up, raised Jesus, God raised Jesus up from the dead and gave him glory that he's experiencing right now, that our faith and hope might be in God. He's our God. Not these little gods of the flesh. Not these little gods of the way of the world. He is our Lord. We were not redeemed with the corruptible things of the world. We were not redeemed from our vain conversation, the effect of others, by something that was cheap and just of this earth. But we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed, we were bought back from that slave market of sin. And that being the case, as the Lord's children, we want to go back to that. There in Galatians, the apostle says, Think back to those times and evaluate in your soul and in your heart. In conclusion, let us remember that we are not the servants of men, the way of man, or the lust and desires of man, nor of the world system. We are not the servants of such. We are the servants of Christ Jesus. We are the servants, as we saw last time, of His glorious gospel. And not the servants, not to be the servants of these fleshly gods that yet are within our flesh and our mind. To you that are not saved here, where do you stand before the Lord? You know, that's in light of this message, where it is, where the unbeliever and the unrepentant stand is, you're your own God. You think you know best. You think you've got it figured out, or you think you will get it figured out. The thing is you won't. The only way to have rescue, the only way to have help, the only way to have hope is in the true and living God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The service of these gods of the flesh will take a sinner straight on to hell for eternity. We point you to our Lord. You need Him. Repent and believe and trust in Him. As I read last time, I'll read again in John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.